But we're not like Moses, because Moses, again, would put a veil on his face so that the sons of Israel would not see that that glory that he encountered was fading away. Which tells us something. You and I are supposed to glow.
Come on.
We're supposed to glow in the dark, amen? With the glory of God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Truly, we're to glow in the dark. Hallelujah. And God's called us to that. But with that in mind, with that kind of a setup, let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:15. 2 Corinthians 3:15. But to this day, Paul writes, whenever Moses is read the law, what happens? A veil lies over the heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, say that with me, turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Amen. But we all, say we all, not just the pastor, not just the worship leader, we all with unveiled faces. How do we get an unveiled face? Turning to the Lord, right? Gazing upon the Lord. With unveiled faces, we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image. Wow. We got some gazing to do, don't we? Amen. We got some beholding to do. Amen. From glory to glory. Just as from the Lord the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Amplified says, from one degree of glory to another. Our glory encounters ought to be more intense and more dramatic. That'll keep you worshiping. That'll keep you coming back. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the sweet freedom and the greater glory. Anybody with me?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet freedom and greater glory that's given to the worshiper. Let's be honest. It's given to the worshiper. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. We're to be a people of true freedom and greater glory. And that's really what transforms us into His image. You know, if there's any part about discipleship and teaching and training that I say we, I'm speaking in general overall, even in Spirit-filled circles, I would say probably where we miss it the most is we don't emphasize how important it is, because no matter amount of information you receive, it's beholding Him that changes us.
That's right.
Amen? It's beholding Him that transforms us. Amen? It's beholding Him in His Word and understanding that's a mirror of who I am in Christ.
That's right.
And that starts to change you. Yeah. Amen? You don't walk away from that the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now we know that Romans 8 begins with these powerful words. There is now, everybody say now, no condemnation, right? For those who are in Christ Jesus, right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from what? Another law. The law of sin and death. Amen? How many are glad for that?
Thank you, Lord.
The only way to get free from sin and death is to submit yourself to another law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. See, a lot of people want to shift it into the neutral. I want to get free, but I want to slip it in the neutral. I don't want to commit to live a Spirit-filled life, because that requires me to die to flesh, to die to myself, to lay my life down, right? It requires me to do that. And a lot of times we don't like that. We'd rather just shift it in the neutral and stay free. How many of you found out that don't work either? This is an ascension into the glory of God. And I got news for you. We're ascending the hill of the Lord, and you put it in neutral, you're going to go backwards. Amen? Too many Christians are using their emergency brake up the mountain. Hallelujah. Amen? Look there in that Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 14 with me. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Any sons of God out there? Come on. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. How many of you know, what does that come? That comes from the law, doesn't it? Amen? But you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons. The band was singing this over us today, which we cry out, what? Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are, say we are, the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be what?
Glorified
with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Notice that. Sons. Sons. Us. Amen. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself, think about that, creation itself is longing for you to come forth.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen? And me to come forth. Amen? In the image of Jesus.
Right.
All right? That we will be set free from its slavery to corruption. Look at this. Into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Let's say that together. The freedom of the glory of the children of God. I love that. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Glory and freedom go together. Amen?
Yep.
When Paul was kind of signing off to the Jews before he switched his emphasis to the Gentiles, he said, know this, that in Christ Jesus is forgiveness of sins. And then he said this, and freedom from all things that you could never be free through the law of Moses.
Lord.
There's a freedom you can't have if you want to stay under the law. You can't have it. It's in the Spirit, hallelujah, through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Freedom from all things. Glory be to God. Now, what does this freedom and glory look like in the house of God? I think I want to just touch on four traits. Are you ready? The first one is this. It's a freedom from what the Bible calls a yoke of slavery. And it's so that we can live in and by the Spirit. You remember Jesus said this. He talked about, you know, lay your burden down. I have a burden that's light that you can handle, right? But He also said, you know, take off the heavy yoke, and I have a yoke for you. I'm convinced the yoke is the Holy Spirit. In other words, you're no longer under the bondage of slavery, religion. And He was talking about religion.
Yes.
He's talking about religion. And He said, you take that yoke off, but you got to have a yoke.
Yeah, come on, right.
Or you'll just be one of those oxen that's wandering around. Right? You got to have a yoke. You got to be led by... Who are the true sons of God? They're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? So I believe that's Christ's yoke. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen? And not just that you had an exciting moment and spoke in tongues once. Hello? I'm talking about being led by the Holy Ghost. Amen? I don't know why I'm saying Holy Ghost. I'm getting all Bible belt on you, but Holy Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. When I was a kid, I used to think, man, is He here? The Holy Ghost is... I ain't going back there. Anyway, look at Galatians 5:1. You know the verse. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, what? Keep standing firm and do not be subject again. Here it is. To a yoke of slavery. The context here is religion. Because they were trying to get Christians to be circumcised. Well, you got to do this. You got to jump through all these hoops. He said, no. You're yoking yourself back into slavery. Are y'all with me? Hallelujah. The Passion says it this way. Listen, at last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. When I saw that at last, I was just thinking of the old spiritual, that all the people, the whole, especially in the South, and all they were battling for civil rights, they're saying, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty we're free at last. Amen. And then he says, we must always cherish this truth and firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. Wow. Firmly refuse. Amen. I'm not going to go back. Amen. How many know the enemy, though, will dangle it in front of you?
That's right.
Hallelujah. I don't want to go back to the past religious yokes because they represent sin and death. I'm going to say this, and I'm saying this with true concern and tenderness in my heart when I say this. But I know of many, many people who at one time were so yoked with God, but they've put on another yoke. And it saddens me because what I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, there are many who are theologically Spirit-filled. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, they have a good Spirit feel theologically, but they've gone back to a form of godliness that has no power.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And we see that a lot. And that's part of what has happened with the apostasy that we've been seeing taking place in this generation. But there's a remnant. There's a remnant. Amen? There's a remnant who are not only Spirit-filled in their beliefs, and you need to be Spirit-filled in your beliefs, but you need to be actually Spirit-filled and actually be living a Spirit-filled life so you can press through freedom's gate. Amen? Into what God has. Don't fall, angel. Amen. Power of God just hit you there. Or that chair broke. I don't know what happened.
I think it was a power.
Yeah, we'll just go with that one. Beloved, this is a... Say this with me. Full restoration... Increased freedom, greater glory. I believe this is the time we're in. Full restoration, not a little bit. Full restoration, amen? increased freedom. How many want some increased freedom and greater glory? Hallelujah. We need to be believing for that. Let's not go back. Hallelujah. And again, I said this earlier, but the gate you enter through is also the gate you can exit through. And that's what we need to be careful of. He's not going to corral you into freedom. You've got to be willing to not go back out the gate. Amen? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it's easy to just kind of fall back into what you were raised in. Yeah. Right? Let me give you an example. How many of you grew up as a child in your church and you were always taking communion and... Hello? Some of you. I know a lot of you. Some of you weren't raised in church, but I was. And I was just thinking of certain things. How many of you know things like taking communion or baptism are powerful, legitimate things?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes,
amen? But how many of you know? You got to be really careful. Suddenly you can find yourself just getting really religious about stuff again. And then it loses its power. And the power of the table of the Lord is not powerful anymore. Right? Hello? So you got to work at that to keep yourself in faith with anything you do. You could do the same with worship. Singing all your favorite songs, but suddenly it's just coming out of you like a robot. Right? And it's not coming from the heart. Now, I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. But that's part of that struggle. The enemy suddenly wants to kind of re-yoke us.
Yeah.
And get us back into something. We lose the power. And now, on another side of this coin, even outside of the yoke of slavery to like a religious bondage, you need to be careful to not get caught up in a yoke of slavery to your former sin.
Right.
Because some people, the enemy would even lie to you, well, it's okay now for you to toy with that because,
right,
you know, that idol you cast down,
yeah,
you know, well, you can, you know, it won't hurt you now. Oh, beloved, be careful. Yeah. Like a rattlesnake, it'll bite you again. Right. I mean, I've seen it happen. I've seen people, things they knew they should have renounced to walk away from, and then I'm going to say they, but I'm going to say we, because
yeah,
I've done it too. I've been saved a long time. I've been tempted by this stuff. And you start, next thing you know, you think, well, I can handle it this time. Uh-uh. I mean, no, don't go there. Amen? Amen. Don't go there.
Yeah.
Stay free. If it was an idol God ever asked you to cast down, guess what? You might want to leave it alone. Leave it at the burning altar. Amen? And just be done with it in the name of Jesus. Anyway, this is subtle ways the enemy can work. But let's just be determined. We're not going to go back to religious bondage. We're not going back to Egypt. We're not going back to our old life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go forward. I'm not going back to darkness. Who wants to go back to darkness?
No, sir.
Second thing. Ooh, I got to keep moving. There's only four. Relax. Number two, another trait of freedom is to actually be free from flesh itself. Now, I know what you're thinking. Are you getting ready to kill us here, Pastor Rick? Because we live in a fleshly body. But it's so that we can walk in the power and love of God, amen, in the glory of God. We can be free. I want to say this to you. And here's the thing. Your self-life doesn't necessarily like this if you've not been sanctified. But we can be free from selfish and self-centered living.
That's amazing.
We really can.
Yeah.
We can be free from it. And does it cause you to die to something? Absolutely. But you can be free from it. And if you will, then you can really walk in agape.
That's right.
You can really walk in agape love. It's only possible, how many of you found this out? By the Holy Spirit within us.
Right.
It's the only way it's possible. Amen. Look with me at Galatians 5. If you're still there, and we read the first verse, but go down to verse 13. Get a hold of this. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Notice we're called to it. So it's not automatic. Hello? We're called to it. And do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Everybody say through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word and one statement. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen?
Yes.
So we're called to freedom. Now let me read the Passion translation of that to you. God has called us to live a life of freedom. Okay. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse. Come on now, to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. In other words, in the flesh. That's pretty cool. Because a lot of times we can say, well, I'm free. And if that's an excuse, then that's not really freedom. How many know we're not free to do whatever we want? Hello? Hello? Because when we do what the flesh wants, that's not really freedom. We're free to not serve the flesh. Get this. You're free to not serve the flesh, but instead follow the Spirit.
Amen.
Does it make sense? That's freedom.
Yes.
And that's the freedom. So we can walk in the power of His great love. A few verses later, most of us have read about this conflict between the flesh and the Spirit, right? They're at enmity with one another, the old King James says, right?
Yeah.
Let's read to you out of the Passion. Okay, so just relax. Let's listen to it. Let me emphasize, because he words it so good. Let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, get this, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life.
Oh, amen.
When your self-life, get this, craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder Him from living freely within and through you. Okay? The Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. How many of you found that out? That's true. Amen? So then, I love this. Listen. The two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are self-life of the flesh. Hello? And the new creation life of the Spirit. Hello? That's the battle. But when you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. Hallelujah. You'll peel free, like I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, from that law of gravity. And you'll be able to fly free from it. Hallelujah. Fly free from it. Okay. Hallelujah. Might not be able to speak clearly, but you can at least get the point. To me, that really helps us understand where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. Amen. And sometimes we may say we have the Holy Spirit, but He's not doing anything in our lives at this point. And when that's not happening, we can find ourselves in bondage. But I believe also, this is why the Scripture encourages us. And this is hard for a lot of people, but it's in the Bible. The Bible doesn't ever condone slavery of any kind. Okay, I'm talking about human slavery. Okay, where some man thinks he owns somebody else. Okay, but let me just say this to you. Many were bound as Christians in the hardship of slavery. I'm talking about slavery to another man. And Peter wrote, you can still live as a free man. And it wasn't meaning you were going to necessarily get broken free from that. Also, Peter addresses the fact that even if you were in under some type of a government that was tyrannical, right, and that would persecute you for your faith, you can still live as a free man.
Come on, that's truth, man.
And you know, we want everything to be hunky-dory, right?
Yeah, come on.
We want everything to be smooth sailing. I don't want resistance. I don't want to, you know, and that's fine. I praise God for our country. I praise God for our freedoms. But I'm telling you, there's a freedom you can have even when circumstances don't say you're free. And let me read the passage to you because we need to read it. 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right, you may what? Silence the ignorance of foolish men. Here it is. Act as what? Free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I mean, that's the formula to live in freedom, even in hard circumstances. Amen? And that ought to give us some passion about praying the right way. To walk free from the flesh life requires us to yield to the spirit life. Everybody get the point? Amen? I can't stay free from the self life just by determining I'm not going to do the flesh life. I've got to follow the Spirit.
That's true.
And you do too. Amen? Again, no neutral. Amen? There's no neutral. It's either forward or backwards. The third trait. We are actually, get this, we are free from Mount Sinai, the law of sin and death, right? We're free so that we can come to Mount Zion in the Spirit. Amen? Amen? We could come in the Spirit to Mount Zion, to the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. Remember how Hebrews describes it? And you begin to realize he's not talking about a geographical mountain. Jesus told the woman at the well, it's not going to be about whether you worship in Jerusalem or on this mountain or that mountain. It ain't going to have anything to do with geography. He said, this is in the Spirit. Mount Zion always represented a place in the Spirit, the gate of heaven. Amen? It's where the worshipers on earth literally are in a spiritual communion with heaven. Amen. And so Hebrews describes it as, he said, you've not come to Sinai, you've come to Zion.
Amen.
You've come to the city, he said, of the living God. Then he says this, to the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen? Amen? You've come to myriads, he said, of angels.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. He said, you've come to the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. That great cloud of witnesses. Amen? Amen. You've come, he said, to God, the judge of all. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Hallelujah. And you've come to His blood that still speaks better than the blood of Abel. Better than any blood that has ever been shed for any purpose or for any cause. The blood of Jesus speaks better. Amen? There's a lot of martyrs in the world, but it's the blood of Jesus that speaks better. Hallelujah. And we have the freedom to come and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen? Oh, if we just knew. And I know there's a depth we've not gone to or a height we hadn't ascended to. So let's go for it in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Let freedom ring. Hallelujah. Whew. Ephesians 3:8. Look there with me. Well, I have a drink of water. Everybody got it? To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. Here it is. So that. Everybody say, so that. The manifold wisdom of God might now, say now, be made known. Say it. Through who? The church to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have, say it with me, boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Everybody look at me. Boldness. Confident access through faith in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We have the freedom to come through our mediator, Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
How, into the courts of heaven.
That's right.
Glory to God. This is awesome.
Glory.
To come through freedom's gate.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is not a church commercial, by the way. That is a cool name for a church, though. Anyway. To see the greater things than these. Remember what he said to Nathaniel? Nathaniel was all jazzed out because Jesus had a word of knowledge about him.
Yeah.
And he believed. He said, you're going to see greater things than these. He said, you're going to see the heavens open.
That's right.
And angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man.
Yep.
That was the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus walked under an open heaven.
Yep. Yep.
Hallelujah. He's called us to walk under an open heaven. Yes. Glory be to God.
Glory.
Paul wrote to the Colossians. He said, what? Keep seeking the things above.
Right.
Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Amen. Set your affections above. But if we really understood that, Paul also wrote to the Ephesians that we've been raised and seated with Him in heaven. We are one spirit with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Right.
Don't forget, never forget, He calls us all His royal priesthood.
Amen.
Amen. Let's be a functioning priesthood. Amen.
Amen.
Not just have a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Let's function as the priesthood of God. Every true church, I believe, should be the gate of freedom to heaven. Here's what I believe. Where heaven is open, where heaven is accessed, where heaven comes to earth, and where angels ascend and descend.
Yep.
Let's be honest. If all churches, including us, always pressed into this, there wouldn't be buildings big enough to contain the people that would be coming to find freedom.
Oh, that's right.
Amen? Amen.
Hmm?
Amen. Amen. Let me just say this. One thing I've learned in my heart, years and years of doing a lot of worship leading over the years and service after service, it's easy to get into just religious rote. Come on. We humanly do that. Just this is what we do. And we can start to lose the passion for the reality of the fact that there's something God wants to show us. He wants to take us deeper. Deep is calling unto deep. He wants us to ascend higher. He's wanting to take us to that place. I found in my heart the biggest thing is determination is good. Because David would say like this when everybody else was against him. He said, I will celebrate. I will dance before the Lord. I don't care. I'll be more undignified than this. David was determined. But it's not just determination. Because I would be determined too. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to lead these people in worship. I'd rather be home today. But I'm going to do it. You know, I'd go out on the platform and lead worship. And can I tell you, it wasn't just the determination. It's the sincerity of heart. First of all, He's worthy. If nothing ever manifested, He's worthy of our praise. Would you agree with me? If nothing ever manifested or nothing ever happened. But the promise is not that nothing will ever happen. Because if that's the case, let's get saved, pray people into heaven, beam them up, Scotty, and let's move on to the next guy. But there's a reason we're on the earth. There's a reason we're still here in our generation for such a time as this. Amen? So let's don't go back to passionless worship. Let's don't go back, but let's have a sincere heart because we have our ticket punched. You know what punches your ticket to the Holy of Holies? The blood. If you're redeemed, the blood says, come on in. Amen? Hallelujah. You've got a chip that'll get you right in. It's called, what are they calling this, vaccine passports or whatever? We got a passport to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the Holy of Holies, to Mount Zion, and it's the blood. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen? Hallelujah. Wow. I must be excited about the 4th of July or something. Let's don't go back. Amen? The final one, this is important. We're going to kind of end with this. We're going to have time of worship and pray for any of you that need ministry today. It's the freedom of the anointing. You might think, okay, well, how's that fit with what we're doing? Let me explain to you. It's to be able to celebrate every day as the day of salvation.
Amen.
Right? It's to be able to celebrate that this is the favorable year of the Lord. You know, maybe 2020 would have been better if we hadn't accursed it so much. Talked about how horrible it was, right? Instead of saying, you know what? I don't like what's going on right now, but I do know this. I'm a man of favor.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, I had to get a grip on that too. This is the favorable year of the Lord. And even y'all know, everybody knows Sunday's the day of salvation, but you know Monday's the day of salvation.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes,
Tuesday's the day of salvation. Are y'all with me? It's important that we get that. And let me just share you something from this passage that you know well, but listen to it afresh. Luke 4:16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me," everybody said anointed me, "to preach the gospel to the poor." Okay? "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. I guess they were waiting. What are you going to do now? Are you going to sing a song? What are you going to do now? And he began to say to them, everybody say it with me, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What would Jesus tell his disciples to do when he sent them out? He said, you go into that town or this town and tell them what? The kingdom of God is at hand.
That's right.
Or near to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then demonstrate it.
Yeah.
Right? You proclaim something. And I want y'all to get something right here, because I think sometimes the word of God needs to be spoken. Do we agree?
Yes.
But it also needs to be heard.
Yes.
Because that's where faith comes. But the hearer can't hear it if there's not a speaker,
right,
so to speak. And now, don't only think of that like right here behind a stand or a podium. It's in our lives. We're a witness of Him. Here's the thing. There's an anointing of the Spirit, would we agree, that releases captives, that brings recovery of sight to, would we agree?
Right.
That brings recovery of sight to the blind, that heals the brokenhearted, that heals sick bodies, to set free everybody who's oppressed. Do we agree? The anointing does that. It breaks us free from that. Here's the thing. The anointing of the Spirit to do this flows freely from a place of the spoken and the heard Word of God. The spoken and the heard Word of God. So think about this. When the Word of God is spoken, what has happened? Truth has become established in that situation, that predicament. You declare truth. Truth is now a step. Do we agree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And when that word is heard, what happens? Faith comes.
That's right.
And then faith can be activated, amen, to the hearer.
That's right.
And we can have the breakthrough in whatever area that word is for them, that applies to them. I believe this. The words used that release that anointing. Notice what it said. He said, "I came to preach. I came to proclaim. I came to declare." All through that, when you read it again, you'll realize he understood it had to be spoken. And he even looked at them in that synagogue that day and said, "Guys, just because I spoke it, it's fulfilled in your hearing." Are y'all with me? So it's really important. Y'all probably heard this, and I'm going to be careful not to jump on my soapbox here, but I'm going to jump on it anyway. But everybody says, well, you know, the silent witness. I can't find it in Scripture. We're not just called to be good people. We are called to be good people, but that's not just what we're called to be. And sometimes people are never going to. Amen? I understand it's the kindness that leads to repentance, but what releases the anointing is the Word. And the anointing breaks the yoke. Amen? So it's really important for us to understand that, okay? Everybody with me? What I found in my life, and I know we have some instances where people talk about, you know, the anointing was so strong on this brother that these people, and I totally get it. That can be that way. But if you really look at their overall, you know, of their life and look at their history, they spoke the Word. They ministered the Word to people, and then it releases the anointing, okay? Amen. Even with Christ, you know, it was that one woman that broke through that crowd. Everybody was touching him. But only the one with the issue of blood who in faith said, if I grab hold of that man's garment, I'm going to be healed. And she did it, stopped the whole procession. Right. And everybody began to realize, we don't realize what kind of anointing this guy has. Yeah, right?
Come on now.
Are y'all seeing this?
Come on.
But what I want to tell you, every time we gather, this works everywhere, but I'm just saying, especially when we gather, I've been praying this lately. Lord, let no one in our gatherings, I don't care if it's a prayer meeting on a Thursday night or a Sunday morning or whenever or in a camp meeting, don't let one lost person walk away lost. Don't let one prodigal go back into obscurity, right? Without being restored to his daddy. Amen? Don't let one sick person walk out of here sick or one bound up person walk out bound up. Amen? I mean, that's the heart and desire we ought to have. And you know what? There's an anointing in here collectively that will break every yoke for sure. Hallelujah. Every yoke. But I can't just will it so.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I can't just will it so. It's important to understand it. So, are y'all ready? There's a freedom from the yoke of slavery.
Amen.
So we can be led by the Spirit. There's a freedom from the flesh.
Thank you, Lord.
So that we can walk in the power and love of God. There's a freedom from the law. Hallelujah. So that I can come to Mount Zion in the Spirit. And there's a freedom from bondage and oppression by the anointing.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
This is the favorable year of the Lord.
Amen.
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 This is the year. Jubilee's here. Amen. Hallelujah. Jubilee's here. If you're in Christ, you're in Jubilee. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's the freedom and glory of the children of God. What I ask you today this. And let's just cherish these truths. I had you say this with me earlier, but let's cherish the fact that God intends to bring full restoration. He's not coming back for a wrinkled up hag.
Yeah.
He's coming back for a bride.
Glorious.
Amen? So there has to be restoration.
Yeah.
And it'll be full. Amen?
Yes.
He's going to make all things new. Secondly, we must see more and more of an increase and a completion of our freedom.
Thank you.
Amen? Transformation shouldn't take 15 years. Come on.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
Yeah. That's right.
Hallelujah. Have you ever seen somebody so dramatically change you were jealous?
Come on now.
Oh, man, that guy's walking. I've been knowing God for 40 years. How dare him be so free? You know what I'm talking about? Come on. That's why we need new sheep in the house. It challenges us. Because we see the radicalness of what God can do to a yielded soul. Amen?
Yeah.
And finally, greater glory. Because I don't know about you. I love every one of you, but we all need greater glory so we can get that image of Christ. That's your destiny. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29. Everybody told you believe in predestination. Yes, I do. I'm predestined to be conformed to His image. That's what predestination is. Is that we are all going to look like Jesus. Amen. We're going to walk like Jesus. We're going to act like Jesus. We're going to love like Jesus. And we're going to break yokes like Jesus.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Y'all receive that?
I do.
Freedom!
Freedom!
Gonna paint my face blue and run out there? Do a little Braveheart on you guys, amen? Without the kilt, without the kilt.
Come on, bro.
Well, yeah. Don't want to cause people to sin. No. Hallelujah, let's pray together. Come on, everybody, lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we turn to You today. And I pray over every heart and life in this room. That as we turn our hearts to You this day, that the veil is removed. And I want to say to some of you right now as I pray, the Lord says, every time you look to me, the ladder's up. Amen. Come on. Come on. Every time you come with a sincere heart, the ladder goes up. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You're tapping into the kingdom. You're tapping in to the angelic realm. Hallelujah. Father, today we thank you that in Christ Jesus our Lord, we are free from the yoke of slavery. Come on, pray with me now. Come on, agree with me and pray with me. We take this yoke of Jesus upon us, Lord. The yoke of the Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Oh, la bakasara bakatata. And Lord, we thank you for that we have freedom from the flesh. We have freedom from selfishness and self-centeredness. Hallelujah! So we can walk unselfishly in your love and in your power. Would you pray this with me? We lay down our lives. We lay down our control. We lay down our self-centeredness to yield fully to the yoke of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, today we thank you that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has truly set us free from sin and death. And I pray for each one today in the sound of my voice that, Lord God, we will be a people that every time we gather, every time we pray, even in the secret place, we will understand that we're coming to Mount Zion. We're coming to a gate that's open and says, come freely, come freely, come boldly with confidence through Christ Jesus, your Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the anointing of your Spirit, even today, to break any oppression of the enemy off of our beloved that are here today. Over any of you that are home right now, we agree with you that all oppression of the enemy is broken in the name of Jesus. So you can walk in the victory of Jubilee. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Would you declare this with me right now? How awesome is this place? For this is the house of God and the gate of heaven. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let freedom ring. Hallelujah. King of glory. Hallelujah. Come in. Come on, lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up your heads. King of glory. Come in. Have your way. Have your way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just close with worship unto the Lord. If you need prayer, speak prayer about something today,